Brother Brother Beercast is back once again, and it is race day, technically. Yeah, it's race day. We're banking some episodes with four of Indy's top sprint car drivers is what I can say. This is episode one of that series. I got my man Cullen sitting with me. Hey, brother.
How you doing today, Johnny?
Cullen Bricker. I almost forgot your last name. I almost called you sir, because yeah. That's what Morgan calls you. But
yeah, I don't know why. I didn't like dress in a tuxedo when we met or anything. It's just what she calls me.
She just loves a tuxedo from the day you got married, I guess.
I guess so, yes.
Maybe she just rock out a tuxedo t-shirt or something.
I'm sure he has that, too, if I know his personality.
I do have a tuxedo t-shirt, yes.
Cullen Bricker, you know, fans of Brother Brother Beercast know Cullen well from his show. He sits in with me once in a while, and his show is?
Cult Cinema Cavalcade. It's where we take a different cult or obscure movie each episode, and we just
rip it apart.
We don't rip it only if it deserves being ripped apart. Most of them get ripped apart.
Okay, all right. I'm not even going to bring up Xanadu. I'm not even going to do it. I'm not going to bring up Rhinestone.
You do love Xanadu, don't you?
I love
you?
Both of them. You're, I'll be very honest with you.
You
that
weird.
Is co-host one, and we're going back to an old fan of the show, an old friend of the show, past guest, Mr. Bob Shutt.
How you doing, Johnny?
Also one of Indy's top sprint car drivers.
Yes, sir.
How you been doing, man?
Been doing good. Been pretty busy here in the off season, getting all my parts I need and selling some stuff, and we're just chugging along, getting ready to go racing here in about a month.
Which is longer for you, the off or the on season?
The on season.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much. We're looking at April through October.
Yeah, it seemed like it'd be a long wait coming back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing with Indy Drinking Dead. You know, we can't wait for the thing to be over with. Of course, we're ready to have our Sundays back. Mm-hmm. And then 2 weeks later, we're itching to get started again.
Oh, yeah. That's how we are. By the end of the year, you're like burnt out. You're like, I'm done. I don't want to even look at a race car. 2 weeks later, you're like, man, I'm ready to go racing again.
Well, there's 6 months between the time Indy Drinking Dead ends and starts the next season. And that seems like 6 years.
Yes, it's just yes. Rough.
I tell you what, I will let you introduce our guest. Since, you hooked us up.
Yeah. This is Bobby Santos. He is a NASCAR modified driver and asphalt sprint car driver. And he's a first-time guest here on the show. How you doing, Bobby?
Oh, I'm awesome. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Bobby Santos.
Yes, sir.
What is modified NASCAR?
It's an open-wheel division, mostly in the Northeast.
Asphalt?
Asphalt, yep. Yep, asphalt modifieds. They're... that's why I'm out here right now, is because I love sprint cars, and but the modifieds are kind of my roots and where I came from. It's a different style of racing, 2,600 pound cars, 600 horsepower versus our 1,300 pound sprint car, 850, 900 horsepower. So
2,600 pound, that's mother-in-law weight right there.
That's it.
You said you're out here right now. Where are you from?
I'm from Massachusetts originally.
Uh-huh.
I've been in Indy for since 2009. I moved out here and been racing here.
I've been here since 2002, Cullen. Has he lost the accent and I haven't?
It's just in your bones, I guess. I don't know.
I don't think I never really had a Boston accent. I don't think anyone's ever accused me from being there, accent. My parents, though, they when you talk to my parents.
Bob definitely has. The Massachusetts accent.
Yeah.
So you're Bobby Santos Jr.
I'm the third, actually.
Yeah. Well, see, that's a cooler racing name. Why not just market the third?
Yeah.
Actually, been I'm not very good with the social media stuff and all that.
Was Granddad a driver?
Granddad raced NASCAR modifieds in the Northeast.
Really? And Dad?
He raced a little bit himself. He couldn't afford it, and when he finally got to the point where he could afford it, me and my sister came along and stole the limelight from him.
Okay, well, let's try and go one more generation. What about great-granddad?
My kid's going to get a football.
No, what about your great-granddad? Was he in racing as well? Are you third or fourth generation?
Third generation.
Okay.
Yeah, my great-grandparents came here from Italy, actually, and my grandfather was the start of it.
Oh, very cool.
And you can race in Italy. I don't know why he didn't do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely can't you, brother? You're giving your kid a football. Keeping him away from the steering wheel?
I think so. I mean, I love racing. It's what I've done since I was, my dad got me in it, driving go-karts in our backyard when I was 2 years old.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. I did the same thing in South Georgia, but You know, I can't do it. I drive like a granddad now. People make fun of me, but and it's not because, I mean, I grew up with sports cars. You know, I loved going fast, you know, when I was younger, but now I just don't want to pay the revenue generators that are trying to give me a ticket every time I get behind the wheel.
That's why we do it on the track. It's a lot easier on the insurance costs and everything.
Stay out of trouble on the track.
Well, that's a good question to ask. How are you guys on the street? You're on 465 and somebody passes it. You get that itch? Or?
I used to be a lead foot on the city. But,
used to be.
Yeah, I've gotten a little bit older and wiser, I guess you could say. And so usually now I'm like, you guys go ahead, you know, kind of my blockers. You
exactly.
Know? And I still speed a little bit, but not too much, though.
Yeah, you speed enough. You get behind the one that's speeding faster than you are.
Yeah,
it's the whole smoking the bandit thing. That's the way I look at it.
Exactly, exactly.
Promotional and other considerations provided by.
Hey there, friends. This is Brian from the 86th Street Pub. If you love trying new and exciting craft beers as much as I do, you've got to come check out our draft lineup. We take a lot of pride in providing our guests with a constantly rotating selection of only the finest local and regional craft beers on tap, as well as more than 50 bottled beers and a full stock of PBR in case the Brother boys stop by. If beer's not your thing, we also carry a variety of Indiana distilled spirits, including 1205 and Hotel Tango. Stop by and see us sometime at the southwest corner of 86th and Michigan Road, 86th Street Pub. If we're not your neighborhood pub, then move.
Thinking about music lessons but don't know where to go? The Sam Ash Music Learning Center in Castleton. Lessons 7 days a week, student discounts on purchases, all in the biggest music store in Indiana. For more information, call Sam Ash at 577-3006. Now you know.
Pabst Blue Ribbon, established in 1844, still alive and well in America today, serving anyone 21 years of age, responsible with a little bit of cash. We're happy to have you on board. Pabst Blue Ribbon.
All right, get right up close to them speakers, because the wolf going to lay it on you, man. It's a brother beer cast. My.
Bobby Santos, so Dad got you started into racing.
Yep.
Why racing and not a mechanic or a crew guy? Or why do you got to drive?
You know, I don't know. I guess, I kind of am a little bit of a mechanic right now. I take care of all my own stuff, so
yeah.
I'm... My dad taught me from day one, if you want to be good at this, you got to do both sides of it. And, you know, that's my day job is taking care of my cars. And then my, I guess, weekend job is driving them.
Yeah.
But, you know, the adrenaline rush of driving a race car, you know, like Bob and I were just talking about earlier, the feeling you get in victory lane, you can't beat it.
No, I completely understand.
You feel like you're on top of the
world. I've
seen it. I mean, and you fight so long all year long, you race, say you run 35 races and you only get a couple wins.
Uh-huh.
It's those couple wins that make you come back.
So you started out on go-karts in the backyard, but did you race go-karts when you were younger?
Race quarter midgets.
Okay.
Quarter
midgets. Define quarter midgets for our listeners.
That's a car, right? Not like people.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like one-fourth of a midget.
So it's a really small person that you're riding on top of.
Exactly.
It's illegal now.
You can start in them when you're 5 years old. They're actually very popular throughout the country. Mini Indy right down the street here is very popular for the kids start out, 5 to 16 years old. It's midget race cars, which that's probably not helping, but midget race cars is a race car around here that people race, and that's just a quarter scale of that. Mm-hmm.
Is that like for kids as well, or is that for like adults?
Full midgets are adults.
Okay.
Yeah.
Quarter midgets, you're from anywhere from 5 to 16, and then you can run a full midget when you're, say, 15, 16 years old up until whenever.
There like age limitations? Like, all right, it's your birthday. You can't race this way anymore. You got to graduate to the next level?
Or? Yeah, to an extent. Like, you can only race quarter midgets till you're 16. And by the time they get to that age, half of them can't even barely fit in the cars anymore.
Okay.
I was done at 12.
Small. Yeah. There's probably, what would you say, as far as the look and the shape of the open wheel cars that we run, what, maybe 8 to 10 different classes that you could run in, you know, throughout the country and the area and stuff. So there's all different sizes. Some of our later guests drive some other different types of vehicles and with motorcycle engines in them and things like that. So there's it's like a whole world.
Yeah. Well, this when you were describing like the asphalt. I can't even name what you just said that you race in, but I didn't even know that was a thing. There's just so many different kinds of racing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, around here, the most popular form of racing is the dirt sprint car, which is a 1,300-pound car with 850, 900 horse. It's it is the wildest race car there is. I mean, I'm a huge fan of it. I race the same thing, but on pavement. And I look at the dirt guys and I say they're nuts.
Because you're probably dirty after, you know, one of your races. Can you imagine all the dirt? They got to just be like a mud man coming out of the machine.
Yeah, I mean, I run on dirt, and you get some tracks, if it's really heavy, you get covered. Their car gets covered. Like, you're at the car wash, you know, that night sometimes afterwards in the morning for the next race, and your uniform's got to get washed and everything. You'll just get
on the dirt track, you're slipping and sliding and working with that. Yes. Where in asphalt, you need the grip.
Yes.
So it's completely different.
Yeah, we always joke. We kind of give Bobby a hard time sometimes because a lot of us that work on the stuff come from a dirt background, and he always says he spent his whole life trying to keep a car straight, and it's just he's like I just don't feel natural to me being sideways like that.
Mm-hmm. Everything I've learned from day one, like I said, in the backyard driving go karts since I was two, when I started doing a little bit of dirt racing in the last handful of years, it's all the exact opposite. So it's a whole new learning curve. And the guys that are good at both, I give a lot of credit to. I mean,
are you good at both?
I mostly just do pavement. I've run.
He could be.
Yeah. I've only
if
run.
He
a
tried.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I've only run a handful of dirt races the last couple of years. I have a lot of good opportunities on the pavement with some good car owners, and I guess I stick to what I'm good at. And you know, if that wasn't so good with what the opportunities I have, I probably would venture into learning the dirt.
All right.
Are you using the same kind of car when you're on the asphalt as on the dirt?
Back in the day they did, and then it evolved into having primary totally pavement and dirt cars.
Okay. It's kind of unfortunate in a way that did that as far as the health of the series in a way. That's kind of why we were talking earlier with Johnny, how the asphalt side is a little more expensive for the car owners. Yeah. And then it even became even more so when the specialized cars came about and stuff. So it used to be a guy could run 50 races a year and 15 on asphalt and the other on dirt and with the same equipment.
Well, yeah, just you have to have different cars. It's going to... cost is going to skyrocket, right?
It does. It was really huge. But it's kind of all worked out now. There's enough of them around that, you know, you got your asphalt guys and you got your dirt guys, and then you got a couple that kind of do both. But it's kind of more its own separate thing now where you don't get the same crowd of drivers that mix in and out as what they used to do.
Now, of course, we're not running just different setups. We're running different tires and everything, right?
Yes, sir, completely.
Okay, but that would pretty much be it. I mean, everything else in the car would kind of...
Same motor.
Yeah.
But the chassis are built custom to dirt, custom to pavement.
Yeah, there's not very much equipment.
Probably the engine, right?
The engine, maybe a couple, maybe some of the rear wheels, the seat, the steering wheel, and you know, some of your like your accessory pumps and things like that, you know, gauges, of course. But other than that, it is completely 100% a totally different beast. Right. Like, I've been looking for a lot of used parts this year and in the off season for my stuff, and his team had a lot of stuff for sale, but I couldn't. It was just not stuff that I could use, like the rear ends or different offset and all sorts of stuff. It's just a completely different beast.
Now, you were talking about the weight of the car. These things are just like, you know, the big boys. You have your weight. You have to be a certain weight.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Once you is it after you win or before you go in? Which
both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot of fluff in there. You can't have like a CD player and
not really.
Hank Jr. box set or anything like that.
No, no cup holders or cigarette lighters for Dick Trickle or anything like that.
You know about all that. Eh? The creature comforts that I need in life. So what goes through your head, Bobby, when you're on the track?
You're just locked in and focused on you know, what you got to do and you know, pass the guy in front of you you just really are locked in and focused on what's going on and what you got to do to, you know, to get around the guy in front of you. It's just a lot of focus. One race that we run here in Anderson, Indiana, is a 500 lap race. I can't even describe the mental focus you need for such a long period of time.
Right.
To do well at that race. It's a lot of focus, I think, more than anything. I think, to me, racing is more mental than anything.
That is a long race, and I guess a long time to keep your mind focused.
Yeah, just driving on the road for 2 hours,
well,
my mind drifts.
Well,
of course,
it's life and death.
It's life
and death,
yeah, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, if you're speeding around there, so, okay, I got to ask, how's the bathroom thing work? You know, because...
Well, I mean, I typically
don't tell me you just go right.
I usually go to the bathroom before I get in the car.
You sweat the rest out, probably. Right?
Yeah, he's sweating so much in that race that it just comes out in a different way.
No air conditioner either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No air conditioner either. Okay.
No, and that race also is on a quarter mile track with 32 other cars. They start at Indy 500 style, and that race is absolutely insane. It's like. It's like watching F-16s fly around in a gymnasium.
Uh-huh. Oof. Okay.
This portion of Brother Brother brought to you by
JoJo's Hair Studio, style for the whole family. Specializing in haircuts, color, foil highlighting, styling, and facial waxing. We are located at 6144 Hillside Avenue, Suite 8 in Indy. Call 253-5506 for an appointment. Booth space is also available. Ask for JoJo. Family owned and operated. JoJo's Hair Studio. Style for the whole family.
Looking for a way to give back to your community? What if you could see a child's face light up when they receive a new spring wardrobe? Give a family a taste of home while their child goes through treatment at Riley. Give a family a reason to celebrate the holidays by helping them put food on the table. These and other community service projects are sponsored by the Indianapolis Downtown Optimist Club. Join us on Fridays at noon at the Scottish Rite Cathedral. Check us out at optimistindiana.org/IndyDowntown and like us on Facebook. We look forward to having you help us continue to bring out the best in kids.
I guess when I was asking, you know, what you were thinking about, do you go through like a checklist? Or do you, as it comes, you say, okay, I need to do this, watch this guy here, this is going to happen, I need to do...
Yeah, I mean, everybody's different in that. I think that a lot of people, like, will look at the lineup before the race and say, all right, I'm starting sixth, so I'm third row on the outside. And a lot of people would diagnose, all right, I'm starting behind this guy besides this guy, and really diagnose who they're around, what they're going to do at the beginning. And honestly, I'm the opposite. I don't even care what the lineup looks like and stuff. I just hop in and things, you just... literally take it by tenths of a second at a time, and it changes that fast. And it drives me nuts when people like try to make a plan prior to a race, like, yeah, you know, we're gonna go around them all on the outside in the start or anything like that.
So you're telling me
you don't know what their plans are either. Like your plans could conflict.
Exactly. So you're telling me the movies lie to us.
Yes.
Bobby.
Yeah,
well, cool. Wait a minute. Is Rubin still racing or not?
Oh, Rubin's racing. I believe in that.
Yeah, totally. And the NASCAR modifieds, Rubin's definitely racing.
And even at Anderson once in a while.
Yeah, at Anderson it is. Yes, definitely.
What about the feuds that we see on TV? Now, we see these in real racing. You know, what about, you know, guys like Jeff Gordon who intentionally wreck people and then say, I don't know what happened. Yeah, I'm not a Jeff Gordon fan. That's why I said that.
I mean, typically if you wreck somebody, you know it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, most people just aren't... big enough to say, yeah, I wrecked that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you typically know when you do something you shouldn't.
Are there feuds? Do you have a nemesis out there on the track?
I've had rivalries, I think, where different people that, you know, I've gone back and forth with and you know, I've won races and he's won races and there's nothing worse than finishing second to that guy.
Oh, yeah.
We have
that in podcasting as well, don't we, Cole?
Yeah, sometimes, yes. Yes. We get along pretty well, though.
Yes,
so
you
far.
And I, that's far.
A lot. Unfortunately, one thing has society has changed in a way, and racing has become more polished. You kind of lost some of that in a way.
Yeah.
I think you would have a lot more of that, and it's kind of hard to find that balance between being professional at all times, but also still coming across as you have a personality.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of guys aren't very good at that. Basically, mm-hmm. they're just trying to be too polished, especially like in the upper level guys. Those guys are, you know, NASCAR is like, I'm just like hearing Charlie Brown's teacher talk half the time. You know what I mean?
They're saying nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas back in, you know, 30, 20, even 20 years ago, you had a lot more of that. You know, you don't get a lot of actually fist fights going on at the races anymore, you know, things like that. So it's kind of good, but it's kind of
bad. Yeah, I was going to ask, like, would you want that? Like,
absolutely.
Absolutely, oh, yeah. You do. Like, and people would love it. Some of us always joke they should put a boxing ring in the infield, and if two guys are mad at each other, put them in there with oversized gloves and let them have at it.
Which is a great motto for life in general. We should have boxing rings on every corner instead of Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you want to fight someone after you've been in a, you know, like a 500 lap race and you're sweaty and exhausted?
I don't know. After them 500 lap races, it's a lot of those guys. You know, I'm a crew member down there on those races, and those guys look all they just look drained. Yeah. Usually after Bobby runs even a 100 lap Silver Crown race, you know, he's still kind of like, yeah, he's still fresh and kind of like talking and stuff, you know. And after that 500 lap race, he just goes and sits in a chair and he's like, "Give me a Gatorade, dude."
I'm gonna beat your butt right after this nap.
Yeah, exactly.
The adrenaline's a big part of that. I mean, if you're wanting to fight after a race, the adrenaline will get you through it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. What about spotters and crew chiefs? Can you talk to them in modified NASCAR?
In the NASCAR modified, there's more of that. The spotters are a big part of that. Crew chiefs are a big part of that. There's constant communication while you're driving with that. The sprint car open wheel stuff that's more around here is less of that. It's more communication from the track officials under yellow. Like, they let you know when there's a yellow, let you know where to line up under yellows. But in sprint car racing, you're pretty much on your own. Once the green flag drops, it's just you in there.
Well, the rules are thick out there. A lot of it's for safety and to keep you alive and everything. But how much do you push the rules? There's got to be rules out there that don't make any sense.
Yeah, I think there are rules that don't make sense. Everybody in racing pushes the issue, and there's gray areas. I think that's a big thing in racing.
That's your
gray
job.
Areas. Yeah, I mean, that's what you do. I mean, there's a couple things that I personally totally disagree with. Two things that I believe that shouldn't be in racing that are soaking tires and traction control. I mean, to me, those are two things that I morally just would not let myself ever do.
Okay. But could you define those for our listeners who don't know? Right. What are soaking tires?
Soaking tires is when people are putting chemicals in the tires to alter what they are. Mm-hmm. And
to alter what they are.
To make it softer or to make it be more consistent throughout a run and not have as much fade as they wear out and things of that sort. And you can put different chemicals.
Make the tires last longer, right?
You put stuff, one type will make it last longer and more consistent. Another type will make it super soft like you want for a qualifying run, and it's going to be junk after four laps.
And that is a no-no.
Yes, most typically.
So how do they know if you've done that?
That's sniff ya.
Really?
Yeah, literally.
And that's part of the problem. It's so hard to, and with the technology now, it's so hard to bust people on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then traction control is literally, in my opinion, taking the driver out of the race car. You know, it's the driver just stomps on the gas pedal, and the race car and the ignition system and everything actually just lets the tires spin as fast as they necessary to go.
That's what Cole Trickle did. I saw the movie. That's what he did. He didn't know how to drive.
They had traction control back in the 90s.
Absolutely. That's kind of like if you have any integrity kind of thing, you wouldn't use that. Like, to me, if I knew I had traction control on the car and I won, I would feel wrong. You know what I mean?
But weights and you know, you cross the scales and you're 5 pounds light because you leaked a little bit more rear end fluid than you expected and all that stuff, that's all fair game. And in my opinion, you know, and shouldn't be as judged as hard as those two items.
Yeah, 5 pounds is not going to win you or lose you a race.
Something I've never thought of, that the weight of the car, is that with or without the driver?
With.
Yep. Okay.
Almost
yep.
always with.
Yeah, okay. Typically with.
It should be.
Little Five is actually one race that they run without, I think.
Yeah.
But typically, it's always with.
Well, if you're sweating that much, you can sweat out a couple of pounds sitting there in one race.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And then
so there's a lot of play, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and you burn off all the fuel. That way, you actually, if depending on some races, like on a Silver Crown on dirt, you actually have to take into consideration how much rubber you lose off the tires. It's actually like 10 pounds of rubber that you can lose off of a car during the race. So you got to take that into consideration. If you're really pushing it, you know what I mean? You got to think about how the car is going to be after 100 miles.
And that's our job as racers to prepare our car right. And that's where
it's not enough to win the race. You still have to keep your car in that condition.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
That's why they don't jump on up and down on top of them anymore after they win the race.
That's right. Yeah, you get in trouble.
I hope all the kids out there are listening that are struggling in math out there. Kids, math is important. You will need it later in life.
Yes, sir.
Promotional and other considerations provided by...
Hey there, listeners of Brother Brother Beercast. This is Brian coming at you from the 86th Street Pub. Make sure to follow us online at 86thstpub.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter to keep up with all our craft beer tappings and any recent events we have coming up. Remember, the 86th Street Pub. If we're not your neighborhood pub, then move.
Sam Ash Music is your one stop for all of your musical needs. Looking to get incredible financing for that gear you've always wanted? How about in 24 months, no interest on 91 major manufacturers? That's 24 equal payments and no interest. Lessons? We have everything from guitar, bass, piano, to drums, violin, trumpet, and sax. All with a one-time registration fee of $25 and your choice of 30 minutes for $30 or 60 minutes for $55. And when you sign up today, you will get your first four lessons half off when you register and buy any qualifying instrument. Sam Ash, your musical destination.
Hello once again, Casey here. You're listening to Johnny, Brother, Brother, Beercast.
So what's coming up with the season for you, Bobby Santos?
Well,
when does modified NASCAR season begin?
The modified season begins in April. First week in April, I actually have a race in Connecticut. Then the second week of April, I'm back here in Indy at Anderson, Indiana, racing the sprint car. That's a non-wing sprint car. And then 2 weeks later, we're going to North Carolina for two nights of racing. And then a week after that, heading straight to Phoenix for a Silver Crown race. So the month of April is crazy for me.
Wow.
And that's in, I guess, four different forms of racing. Mm-hmm. That's a NASCAR modified, then it's a non-wing pavement sprint car, and then we go to a wing pavement sprint car, and then last the Silver Crown car.
Okay, Cullen looks perplexed over here. Did you?
No, there's just that's so a lot. Many races.
Yes. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, just, you know, with the sprint cars, you can just take the wing off of it, it becomes something else.
Yeah.
Yep.
A whole different class.
Basically, yes.
See, I learned this last time with Bob Shutt over here. It's a learning experience here on Brother Brothers.
Like Bob said earlier, I mean, you can have 13 different divisions, and to the normal eye, they all look the exact same.
Yeah. Mm.
Man. So which is your favorite to run? If you had to run just one for the rest of your life?
Absolutely. A non-wing pavement sprint car on the miles or... That's probably my favorite racing is racing the
pavement.
Sprint.
Staying off the dirt. I got you.
Yeah, that's what I am. But racing the sprint car on the miles is my favorite.
Yeah, he likes the big fast tracks. He's good, really good at that.
Yeah, that's
is there a favorite track?
I like Iowa Speedway. Is one of my favorites.
And that's a big one.
That's a 7/8 mile.
7/8 mile track.
Yep.
He won a USAC Silver Crown race there in 2015.
Yep. Yep, that's very one of our favorites. We won that race a couple years ago. That was a good win for our team.
Yes, it was. That was a great day.
Very nice.
Great day.
So, is there a win-loss ratio? I mean, how many of you won?
I lose a lot more than I win.
Let's compare awards. Yeah, I do too. In life, general, period.
You know, it's hard in racing because, you know, you get in the racetrack and there's 25 or 30 guys on there and only one person wins.
Yeah.
So, it's hard. I mean, I typically run... 35, 40 races a year, and I'll get my share. You know, I'll get a handful of wins, you know, five wins or something in a year, which to me is a good year. You know, and that's kind of just normal in racing. I mean, for some people to get a win a year is awesome.
You're doing multiple races a week?
Sometimes. Some weeks I'll run 2-3 times in a week, and sometimes you get a weekend off.
Because I was wondering, because you said, like, you know, like 35 races or so. Like, you know, there's 52 weeks in a year. Do the math. That's a lot of racing. It's a lot of weeks.
Oh, yeah. And some guys are crazy. I mean, a kid last year attempted to run over 200 races in a year.
Yeah.
So was he doing multiple races a day?
A day.
Sometimes, yeah, he was.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I mean, he started down in Australia and New Zealand. They run these same kind of cars that we run, but you know the seasons are switched. So when it's winter, it's warm down there. Okay. So a lot of guys will fly down there. So he was down in Australia, like New Year's Day, he was racing, and won. You know, he was what did he have? 27 wins until unfortunately he perished in August in a racing accident. Wow. Brian Clausen, I'm sure you may have heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
Ran the Indy 500 as well, but he was. And I don't hate to think of how many races he would have won if he could have kept. I mean, that's
a
lot.
He was, what, a little past halfway on that deal, 100?
Yeah, just a little bit past halfway.
And he had 20-plus wins.
Yeah, 27 wins. So he probably would have had maybe almost 60 wins in a year, you know, and 200 races. It's just unreal. It would have been awesome to see it happen.
Jeez.
Yep.
Bobby, is the family involved with your crew? Is it a
absolutely.
Family business?
Yep. Well, I wouldn't call it a business. It's a money-losing habit.
Businesses lose money. It's all right.
Drug habit would be cheaper than this racing business that we all do.
Growing up, my sister actually raced also. She hasn't raced the last handful of years. She's retired.
I got to ask this. How does that work? Is there like... There's not like a powder puff league or anything.
She raced with the boys.
Okay,
She raced in the Northeast. She's from Massachusetts. She lives there now. The club that she won a midget race in was 50 plus years old, and she is the first and only female to ever win a race in that division.
Oh, very cool. Nice.
So she's very talented for a girl, I say. You know, she's she is good. I mean, she was an awesome racer.
She's got her daddy's blood in her. That's what it is.
Yeah, she was good.
So what about you? Is there an immediate family, wife, kids, the whole nine? You were talking about a football earlier. So.
Yeah. My wife, Christy, she actually comes from a racing family, too.
Is that how you guys met?
That's how we met. I raced with her brother.
I was going to say, I think your son might be doomed. He might have to race if both of you are from racing
That's
families.
That's what I'm thinking, Bobby. Cullen has a point here.
Yeah. I
probably came out of the womb running.
Yeah, we're both both from racing families. Her brother's a racer. Her dad was into racing, so that's how we met. We got a going on 6-month-old baby, and like I said, he's getting the football.
I'm sure mom has a little bit to do with the football influence as well.
Yeah. Well, you have to keep him away from the track then, because if he sees what daddy does.
Are you still friends with the brother?
Yeah, we're still friends. Okay. And he still races. Not quite as much as I do, but he's still involved.
Okay, that's very cool.
Yep.
That's very cool. Is there anything that you haven't done in racing that you strive to? Is there a golden prize?
Absolutely. I mean, you always want to, you know, win more races and do more.
There's one thing on that bucket list. It has to be done.
I mean, I'd love to run Indy someday. That would be a dream.
Right.
I feel that, I have the ability to do it and the resume to do it. And the one thing I don't have behind me is huge financial backing, which is tough, but... I feel that I'm deserving of that opportunity if it ever came someday.
This portion of the show, sponsored by
Three Sisters Cafe, located in Broad Ripple at 6223 North Guilford Avenue in the bright blue house across from Kroger. Come see us for some amazing food. Unique vegetarian and traditional options are available, like our traditional lemon corn cakes as seen on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. We are open from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and Sundays 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Family owned and operated. Three Sisters Cafe, 6223 North Guilford Avenue in Broad Ripple. It's a beautiful thing.
Now, aren't Indy cars basically like the souped up go-karts you started with?
Yeah.
The general premise is the same, correct? I mean, of course, the speed's a lot different in the area, but...
Yeah, I think the general concept of it all is the same. I mean, the quarter midget division that we ran now I'm going to confuse you some more within quarter midgets. There's
That's
about
okay.
14 different. All right,
I'll brace myself. It's all
listeners
right.
are out there googling as you
but,
speak.
But the quarter midget division that I ran when I was younger, light A. I think you can compare the reaction time and the speeds of that of an Indy car. That you know, young 10-year-old kids have the reaction time and the speeds of. It's pretty amazing.
Right. Yeah, a lot of IndyCar drivers actually will run go-karts in the off-season to keep themselves fresh and get the instincts going, and it's all the same thing. You know,
and the horsepower-to-weight ratios are similar.
Very similar, yes.
What about your, the driver's seat, the cockpit of your car? Is it as tight as an IndyCar? I mean, because them boys are in there.
No.
I can't drive with my hands, you know, 6 inches
It's not quite that
bad.
Yeah, it's not quite that tight, but... to me, once you're in the car and you just zone in and that's what you focus on and
well, you see the on camera stuff in all these races. Inside of the car looks phenomenal. It looks huge, but you know you're stuck in the Hans device and you're strapped in there where you can barely move.
I don't get claustrophobic very much, but I will admit that sometimes I'm in the car not while I'm racing, but when I'm just sitting there, sometimes it's. It can kind of feel really tight and kind of close in on you.
Well, I'm fine with a seat belt, but strapped in like you guys have, I don't like to be strapped in. Well, there was this one time, but, you know, and it was New Year's Eve.
Hey, when you're hauling the mail like we do, you want to be strapped in. Trust me, buddy.
Well, you don't want to get thrown out, of course,
no.
but you don't want to ever get put in a position to be thrown out.
No.
So, I guess, is there a point to where you ever back off? I mean, you don't. You're not going to want to admit it. I understand that.
No, I mean, I'm not scared. I'm not scared to admit that. I feel that I'm more of a calculated driver than a ballsy driver. I'm not scared to admit that. Like it's actually
for restarts.
Yeah, sometimes. like for example, Iowa Speedway is a track we were talking about earlier. It's a 7/8 mile fast racetrack. We race the midgets there. And everyone used to go around and say, I held it wide open. Well, I have the track record there, and I've never held it wide open around there. So
they're liars.
Yeah, I think so.
Or they were scrubbing off, you know, slipping and sliding and spinning the tires. And then whereas he's, like you say, more calculated, where he keeps the grip level there. And, he's more like he drives within the limits of the car. Mm-hmm. And some of those guys kind of try to take it outside of the limits of the car. And that's where... crashing.
So absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
it's reckless.
If you don't admit that you get nervous in some situations, you're lying.
Yeah.
Well, you're going well over 200 miles an hour. I think it's okay to get a little nervous.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's part of it. I think it's you got to understand what you're putting yourself into.
Yeah. If you're not, you're dead inside, and you're a robot, and robots should not be allowed in racing.
No.
Sorry. That's how I feel. That's how I was raised.
Well, if you guys start striking for higher pay, they're going to put robots in the car.
Yeah. Sometimes we get what we call the pucker factor. You'll definitely scare yourself in there, That's sure. The whole thing is especially on more so on the dirt than the asphalt, I think they have to be driven hard for them to even make the corner properly. Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of push it and kind of step outside of your comfort zone as you're mm-hmm. going along. But then also that same way, you kind of got to find that limit. The whole idea is to find that limit of where you can go, but don't cross it. You know what I mean? Because cross it and it is the danger zone. So it's like you want to get it as close as you can to that limit every time.
No, you're always pushing yourself outside your comfort zone. Yeah. I mean, that's just a part of racing.
Sure. Well, I mean, and you can't, I guess, I get normal guys like Will. Guys like me would back off and get the heck out of the way, but you just can't get out of the way there. If you back off a little bit, you're in somebody's way. So the problem is behind you as well as beside you and in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So strategy plays a part.
Big time.
Okay.
It's like a high-speed chess match.
Where the stakes are much higher.
Yes, they are.
I got to admit, I was excited coming over here today. I got driving a little aggressive on the way down.
Did you get elbows up a little bit?
Well, no. I was flexing on the steering wheel.
Yeah, yeah.
And, calling the drivers what I thought they were, but I wasn't going too fast because I don't want to pay those tickets or anything.
Yeah.
Has there been an accident in your past? You've been doing this several years now.
I've had some very scary accidents.
Not just a mishap, a real accident.
Oh, yeah. I've had I've raced at Daytona in a well, whatever they call them nowadays, a nationwide car. Uh-huh. And I had the steering brake, and I hit the inside safer barrier at about probably 160, 170 miles per hour straight in. That was probably one of my worst accidents. I've had a stuck throttle at Phoenix on a mile and a midget straight in the fence.
Toledo
a couple years ago, I had a wheel come off, do a 360, and put it straight in the fence. I mean, I've had some good crashes, but that's... That's part of it.
What's going through your mind as you like a wheel comes off and you're spinning around?
I was just talking about earlier about how everything's so fast, and that's when time freezes. When the wheel came off and you start spinning, it was forever. It was like, all right, I'm gonna hit, and you're still thinking about it. Then eventually you hit, and it hurts.
Do you brace for that hit, or you try and go limp for that hit?
Like you do a shot before you.
Yeah, I wish we could.
It's more weight. You can't do that.
I guess it's always different. I mean, when you know it's coming, but it's one of those ones that you're waiting on to happen, I think you kind of brace yourself because it's like just human nature to do that.
Sure. Instinct, yep.
But I think staying relaxed when you're crashing hard like that, I think helps you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think tensing up makes it worse.
Yeah, that's what I hear. In all the drunk driving courses I had to take, that's what they say. No, I'm just kidding. That's never happened.
He only took one.
The wall at 160. My God. How fast?
Yeah, that's a wall.
How fast have you been? Yeah, it doesn't matter how they make it a safety thing to where
it's a stationary object, and you're going at insane speed.
Yes. Yeah, and that's what's great about the advances of racing right now. With like you were talking to, how tight you're strapped in and the Hans device and all these different safety things we have. It makes you comfortable and almost feel like invincible in a race car, which is is kind of a bad thing because, you know, drivers nowadays with all the safety advances we have are overconfident in the machines that we're around versus back in the day, you know, they respected what they were driving and they respected what could happen more.
Well, there has to be a line. I mean, you have to have confidence out there to be able to do what you do. You have to be strong and and know what you can do.
There can't be that many cowards out there. They've all got to be strong-willed individuals.
They're in the back.
Those are the guys interviewing them. That's what it is. Why I'm sitting over here driving 48 in a 50. go ahead.
I was just wondering, if you were to come across someone that was driving 48 in a 50, I know I would be upset. Are there ever times where you're driving and you just like swear and yell at people like going by or not going fast enough or anything like that?
I think that happened once last year at a race, didn't it?
I may or may not have flipped people off a couple times.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah. I mean,
okay. What's the fastest you've ever been?
Probably Daytona, which is just over 200.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. When I was a teenager, I had a 73 Camaro. 350 4-bolt main, Holley 4-barrel. That's nice. 73 was last year, and I had the round Corvette taillights in the back. I love that, baby. Mm-hmm. I was beside Alfred Moore, who had a Corvette, and I pulled away from him, and I had just topped 140.
Nice. Mm.
Those cars, those Camaros still had the metal body, so you start to float at about 140. And it was at that moment in time, this is too fast for me. I'm not going to do this again. So I've done 140 on the street, pulling away from a Corvette. But, that's enough for me.
I've never been that fast on the street.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've gone faster on the street than I have, Johnny. You're a badass.
Say that one more time. Say it.
Johnny is a badass.
Boom. That's all I asked for right there. Oh, my God. And I was 17 years old and stupid and didn't know better. So didn't even have a seatbelt.
And that's something cool about growing up in racing and being around it. It teaches you a lot of discipline in the real world. I think, you know, you talk to a lot of racers that are our age. I think they have less trouble on the street than your average teenager does or the average, person because you learn to respect it and you learn to respect what can happen on the street.
These machines are just, they're not just, you know, cool and the way to get from place A to B. I mean, you have to respect them. They're their own beast. I mean, they can take over and run it for you. And you never want them to do that. So my hat is definitely off to you. So you're going to run NASCAR one day. I mean, IndyCar one day.
I'd like to.
Yeah. Do you, are there plans toward that or is that just a dream?
You're trying to make connections? It's probably more of a dream. I mean, you're meeting people all the time and you're trying to win races at the level that you're at. I mean, to me, I feel the best thing I can do is be successful at what I do and hopefully get recognized. But again, at the end of the day, definitely need some serious financial backing to make something like that happen.
Okay. So, Johnny, do you want to back...
I would absolutely love to back every one of them.
Put your name wherever you want it.
How you guys with credit?
You have a big picture of your face right in the car?
Oh, that would be scary, wouldn't it?
Way everyone would get out of the way and you'd
right
win
on the front wing. I'm definitely going to be a JL Media logo on my race cars this year, that's for sure.
Oh, that's right. Are we still doing that?
Get you on there.
There's so much stuff going on, I can't keep up with the Mandy's hooking me up with all kinds of stuff. I don't know what's
happening. Well, you're a busy guy.
It's some of it's not all of it's good, though. But Bob Shutt Racing is good. I know that.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Websites. You got websites out there? You doing the marketing thing? Or?
Yeah, actually, like I said, I'm not very good with that stuff, but my wife and a friend is kind of helping me get a little better with that this year. Bobby Santos Racing on Facebook. We actually haven't really done T-shirts or much like that in the past, but we're doing that this year and just trying to get a little better with it.
Yeah. He's got some really nice-looking shirts out this year from ASI Racewear. Mm-hmm. Really nice.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. ASI Racewear. Do you just buy from them? Are they sponsor?
I wish. No. Okay.
Are there sponsors out there? Anybody you're working with?
Sure. We have the biggest person is DJ Racing, my car owner in the sprint car racing. My car owner, Dick, is obviously a huge part of why I'm able to do what I do.
DJ Racing?
DJ Racing,
Is he local?
We have a shop in Brownsburg. Okay. He actually lives in Florida, but he's up here all summer long. He he's retired and loves racing. It's his hobby, and
so he comes to the Midwest for the summer to race and goes back to Florida for the winter.
Yes, sir. Right.
Lucky guy.
Yeah, he
travels around quite a bit.
He's on the move quite a bit.
Yeah, he is.
But he's put his time in. I mean, he's 82 years old, and he deserves everything he's got. He's worked hard to be in the position he is, to race for a hobby and have fun doing it. Then, of course, I mean, a lot of different small stuff, like Driven Racing Oil helps me out, Simpson Race Products. You know, I get good people that come to the racetrack with me as far as mechanical help. Bob is a huge help with me, my buddy Justin. You know, we get a lot of good people helping me.
That's very cool. That's very cool. And, of course, we'll link their links up in the show notes when we put this out.
Yeah.
Anybody else you want to give a shout-out to?
No, just thank you guys for having me on here. I mean, this is cool. I appreciate what you do, and you know, this is fun. Thank you.
Excellent food here at 86th Street Pub too. Got me some steak skewers over here. She's had them on the table next to me, and I could smell them. I had to bring them over.
Yeah, I saw you chowing down on them.
Yeah, I couldn't wait, man.
Of course, I had to eat before the show because I knew I was going to be drinking these PBRs over here. And every time Cullen gets with me, he tries to outdrink me, and I just can't have that. So,
I might have to get in the game here after I'm done with these steak skewers and Johnny, get me a PBR.
Johnny usually wins.
He gets a lot of practice during the week.
I got to win, Bobby Santos. Brother, thank you for being on the show today, man.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, guys.